Welcome to Activate Yourself with Gita Sidhu-Rab, where we feature otherwise normal people who, because of events in their life, have turned left and done unusual, inspiring, incredible things, like build a business, become a happiness expert, marry a prince, create an empire, or like your host, set up a health and wellness business, Nosh Detox. Here's your host, Gita Sidhu-Rab.
Hi, my name is Gita Sidhu-Rab, and this is Activate Yourself. And you know, we always try and have guests that not only are talking about things that are real life, but usually real life tends to have a really shit component that actually hurts you in some way. But for the people that inspire me and the people that get me to feel and think differently, it's always the people that have taken something that has kind of knocked them off course and sent them off to the left. And they've used that opportunity to activate something really deep and meaningful about themselves. Obviously, I care about this because this is what happened to me. But I also care about today's guest a lot because, as I say all the time, what happened to me was not unusual. The number of women post-divorce that end up poorer, I think it's something like a 65% drop. I mean, I'm sure our next guest will have better statistics, but I have a memory that within 2 years of divorce, women tend to be over 60% worse off than they were when they first got divorced. And when I met Josette Mandela, who is our guest today, I leapt on her because I was like, I really want someone to talk about this, because for us as women, when things go wrong, the first person we blame is ourselves. Not only is that crap, it's not true at all, because you know, life happens, but also we can get out of it, because the skills that we learn having been in that position are the kind of skills that see us through for the rest of our lives. For me, somebody once said to me, when we were homeless after walking out on my husband with my three small kids under the age of seven, you don't know this yet, but it's the best thing that's ever happened to you. And he was very lucky that I don't know how to shoot and I didn't have a gun, because he would have been very dead. That was a little too soon to bring that up, you know, and we live in the UK and we don't shoot people here. So, you know, there were a few combinations, but I did want to murder him, it must be said. With that introduction, let me introduce Josette. Josette, thank you so much for joining me today.
And thank you so much for that introduction, Gita. And absolutely, I get that that whole emotion thing about, I can't believe he said that. And I'd love to have shot him if I could have and gotten away with it. But because
in the moment, murder.
You know, because in that moment, when they say something stupid like that, oh my God, you're like, seriously.
And it doesn't take into account the any empathic need you have for comfort at the stage, you know, and it is absolutely the best thing that happened. But I don't think I don't have this desire to look at immense pain and think that is the best thing, you know. No, I think the best thing that happened is what I made out of the circumstances, not the circumstance itself, you know. So let's talk about this, because you empower women to take charge of their financial futures. And this actually happened to you, right? You had a post-divorce bankruptcy. Could we talk about this? Whatever isn't painful.
Yeah, it's almost 30 years ago now. So yeah, it's really not that painful. It's more looking back going, how could I have been so stupid? But I grew up in an era where women had two choices. It was either marry the man as a plan, or you went into like social work. And social work really didn't appeal to me. I kind of like that whole man as a plan. He's going to take care of me. He's going to take care of all those things that I think are difficult. And
I'm not brought up to do either. Let's be clear. We were not given these skills.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so I went out and I found him. At least I thought I did. I had Prince Charming. You know, cue that music, the white horse, the knight in shining armor. He said all the right things. And even though I did have a career, I was thinking, this is wonderful. He'll take care of all these things that I find challenging, that I don't really want to do. And I'll just go out and do the things that I want to do because that's what a man is for.
And he
And
thought that too, up to a point,
yeah.
right? It's not like when you, I mean, just so that, because I talk to a lot of younger women who say things like, I can't believe you thought that. And it's like, well, you have to understand the circumstances that were existent, which is that not, number one, there wasn't enough choice. Number two, the cultural pressure was relentless. There was
Yes.
something wrong with you if you didn't get married, right? And number three, like I know what you mean by the feeling stupid, but it made me wince. Like I remember we made the money together and we put the money in a joint account, which my ex-husband emptied. And people were like, again, it's that thing where you feel stupid. But I have had to have a conversation with myself that trusting somebody, in fact, is not stupid. The breaking of that trust is.
Yes. And so for 5, 6 years that everything was lovely. I really was living that fairy tale. And then I went away for a job for a week. I come home and something had changed. No idea what it was. And for a year I was trying everything I could think of to make things better because I was convinced that
It
I had
must
done
be.
something even though I wasn't there. And then finally, I decided, okay, nothing I have said has mattered. Let me go to a lawyer and at least see what my options were. Because I was convinced that if I just said I'd gone to a lawyer, he would have suddenly broken down and everything would have been wonderful and he'd explain what was going on. Instead, the answer was, I don't know what took you so long.
Oh.
Oh my God. At that point, I realized it was over.
Did you find
And
out what happened, or it doesn't matter?
I still have no idea.
Oh,
I'm
wow.
convinced that he must have had some kind of relations or something with somebody else, but I don't know. And it got to the point where I was like, especially when I found out what he'd been doing with our money, that was when I was so done
What
because
have you done?
he was supposed to be managing the money and paying the bills. About 6 months earlier, he'd stopped paying all the credit cards that had my name only on them. And then when I started grabbing all that information to give to my lawyer so that we could figure out assets, liabilities, and all that fun stuff that you have to do when you're getting a divorce, I discovered that the credit card debt rivaled our mortgage. At
Because of the
that
interest.
point, I was beyond devastated. I was like, how could this happen? And how did I let this happen? And then the lawyer said what he thought were magic words. Oh, don't worry about it, honey. Just a clear bankruptcy as part of your bankruptcy, as part of the divorce, rather. And we'll start with a clean slate. Everything will be wonderful. I was young and naive. I didn't know any better.
Well, no, this is advice you're being given, right? So you're trusting the
Yes.
professional.
He's a professional. I'm taking his advice. I don't know questions to ask. I don't know good or bad. He's telling me this is a good thing. So I took his advice. So 6 months later, the divorce is all settled. The bankruptcy happens. And then I find out what that really means. Oh, you want an apartment? Oh, well, that'll be 2, 3 months security deposit because we don't trust you. You didn't pay the last people. Oh, you want to turn on utilities? Well, we don't normally charge a security deposit, but for you, we're
Because
going
your
to
credit
take 2 months of
rating
whatever the last people, paid. It was a nightmare. So that's, and for 7 years, it was like that. Everything I did financially, people are looking at you funny. Like, well, she did it to those people. Is she going to do it to us?
Oh, gosh.
So it was, yeah.
So
But
why did it take 7 years? Does it take 7 years to expunge the bankruptcy from your record, or what?
yes, it takes
Okay.
between 7 and 10 years. And in my
Wow.
case, it was basically by 7 years, people started seeing that, look, she's doing all the right things. Her credit is starting
Oh, that
to
is wild.
improve. And So, each year got a little easier to do things financially, but oh man, in the beginning, if I didn't have a good job, I'd have probably been living in the street or my car.
I'm just listening to you, and I think, look, we're so different. We live in different parts of the world. We have different life stories, different everything. And when I came out, when I left my marriage, I realized that the my because I didn't know what a credit rating was because I'd never had to worry about it, and I'd always paid my bills. So you don't kind of know about these things when you don't have a problem with it. But my ex-husband had a very bad credit rating, which I didn't understand. And he said, "Oh, I can't take the lease out on this place because they're like, I can't be one person. They need someone with a professional degree, and you're a lawyer. So can you come and take this lease on this thing?" So I was like 20, 30, whatever. I was like, "Sure." And I'm pregnant like all the time, and I'm having these babies. So I'm like, "Okay, sure." And he had stopped paying the rent 8 months before. Because he was the one that used the premises, right? He worked from there, and I had a desk and I would pop in and out, but that was more for the sake of the lease than anything else. And so I didn't realize that he had stopped paying it. So I had to go bankrupt because of this. But in this country, I was very lucky because one, my bank manager was a very, very good friend. And he was really decent to me and kind to me. But also in this country, you expunge bankruptcy after 1 year.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it used to be 3 or 7 years or something, and then they made it 1 year. So it was a little different. But wow, that sounds absolutely horrendous. So we're gonna thank you for sharing that. And we're gonna go for a short break. We're gonna come back, and I wanna know what you did to climb out of this hole that you were in. Well, it's not even that, is it? It's what do you do with what you've learned from climbing out of the bloody hole? So we're gonna come right back, and we're gonna have that conversation.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach. Here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, so we're back. So, what did you do with this wealth of knowledge that you gained?
So basically what I did was, and it was a slow process, and similar to you, what I realized when I was at the beginning is that I don't know even where to start. Life is such a challenge, and I actually went to the bank loan officer that we'd used when we had gotten our mortgage, and I was just like, look, here's my situation. Here's what happened. Can you give me some pointers on how I get out of this hole? And he told me about secured credit cards. And what that is basically if you have some money in the bank, in a savings account, they put a hold on that and they give you a credit card that's based on the amount in the savings account. So in my
And why
case,
did you do that? Why did you need the credit card? Because you were trying to prove behavior?
I was trying to prove behavior, and that was another way to do it. So I had the apartment and I had the utilities, but they also want to see it, at least in this country, when you're building your credit score back up, they need to see a couple of different ways
Yeah,
of
repayment of debt
paying things
at the
back.
time. Yeah.
So And I needed a credit card because for work I did some traveling, and the work covered some things, but I needed a way to pay for things besides writing a check for everything.
Oh, and
So,
you guys don't do debit cards?
back then, no.
Okay.
Debit cards really weren't a thing. That came a little later.
So what
So
happened after that? Let's talk about your resurrection bit.
the resurrection, that basically it just takes time. And in my case, I just kept putting one foot in front of the other. I started saving and being a lot more cognizant of where's the money going and what am I spending on. And over time, I started seeing some positives. The money in the savings account started growing. I started putting money in my 401k at work. And that was another thing, is that I really didn't understand all the different pieces, because not only do we not teach it here in schools, but even your employers don't really tell you what all these benefits are. They throw these pieces of paper at you and say, yeah, we've got a medical plan, we got this, we got that. And unless you really take the time and read the stuff, you tend to say no, because your mind gets confused, doesn't understand. And so putting one foot in front of the other, talking to the loan officer and having regular conversations, I started to learn all the things that I'd never learned before and started to do different things. And now I'm starting to see savings and having an emergency fund if something goes wrong. I started seeing money growing in that 401k. Now I'm starting to see that, oh, look, I can have some money in retirement times and let that grow. And it was coming out of the paycheck directly, so I wasn't even missing that money.
You
And
don't feel
that's,
it, yeah.
so that made it so much easier, is that things are happening kind of behind the scenes where I'm seeing this is the pool of money I have to work with every week, but I don't. All the stuff around the edges now is happening automatically. And I think that's kind of a key to being able to really grow your wealth, is having things happen automatically so
Yeah.
that you never see it. It happens. And then at the end of each month, you're looking going, oh, wow, this is cool. Look, I set aside $50 this month, rather than, oh my God, where did all the money go?
Yeah. And you never fit. The most interesting thing about automating anything is somehow you don't then notice it again. It's having to take something out of your pot to go and replace it is an issue. Whereas when you automate it, you just automatically manage with the lesser amount. And it's a real mind twist that
Yes.
way. So how did you go from here to you wrote about this then?
So the next thing I did was it was a good 10, 15 years later, because like I said, I had this good job in corporate and I was rebuilding my financial life, and things are going pretty well, but I kept having this feeling in the back of my head that I can't be the only one that's ever done this
Or had to
and
go through this.
or have to go through this. And that was really nasty. I don't want any other woman to have the same problem.
Yeah.
So I went and had my car serviced and brought some things to work on, because it was going to be 6 hours that I was sitting there. And while I was there, I took out a pen and paper, and by the time the car was ready to go, I'd had basically the outline for about two-thirds of the book that I ended up writing.
I love that.
It was, obviously it was meant to be. It was just what I call a divine download. And over the next, again, it was probably another 10 years, I would take the thing out periodically. I'd look at it, I'd add some stuff to it. But at the time, there was no Amazon, there was no
Yeah.
self-publishing out there. I had no idea how to go about writing a book and getting it published. So I kept putting it back in the drawer and saying someday. And then finally, COVID comes along, and now I've got time on my hands, I start doing some research. I discover there's self-publishing. There's all these different things you can do. And finally, I said, look, there's no book like this out there. It obviously came to me for a reason. It's time. And so I took the time during COVID. I finished the book. I put it up on Amazon. And now it's got over 400 positive reviews. So,
oh my God, I love that. What is the book called?
It's called The Woman's Guide to Money Freedom, Saving, Investing, and Building Wealth for Beginners, because that's what it is. It takes you from that, I have no clue. I feel confused about money. It feels hard. And it takes you up to, I'm confident and look at what I can do.
I love that. Okay, so I just before we go for the next break, what do you think are the three top things any woman needs to know in terms of financial literacy?
So
what are
the,
your top three?
So the top three things, and I talk a little about each of these in my book. The first one is what I'll call cash flow. It's where is my money going? So so much comes in each month, so much goes out. Are you saving anything in between? And why or why not? Debt management, that's a big one for me because that's how I got into, you know, bankruptcy. And with that one, it's more a matter of, does this make sense right now? So if you're using your credit cards for everything, okay, on the one hand, that's great because you can see at a glance, here's all the things I'm spending money on. But really take a look at it and see, does it make sense to be spending the money on all of these things? If you're
and
doing,
can you pay off the debt every month? Because
and can I pay off that debt every month, or am I carrying the debt? Because again, that debt service is what can get you into trouble. And then, like I said, that third thing, which may actually be the first thing you should be doing, is really building that emergency fund, because that emergency fund ensures that if something unexpected shows up, you're not scrambling to come up with the money to pay for it. Car needs tires, or the kids need braces, or, you know, any of these things that could pop up in a lifetime, you want to know that it's covered. And you don't want to be pulling money out of your current budget in order to pay for that thing.
Yeah, no, you want to accommodate and provide a safety net, right? As well.
Yes.
We're going to go for a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about the one thing that I find I hear from a lot of women. So we'll be right back.
The station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Gisette, I hear from a lot of women, they're like, but I'm trapped. I know that there are ways out of this. I'm financially dependent. And how the hell do I get out of this? And I remember a friend of mine who actually was British, but she left and went to the US and married an American guy. And he gave her a credit card. And she used to live on this credit card, but he didn't really give her any money. So she would went to all kinds of lengths to get cash from this. So she would give, she would give things back and get the money back in cash. And she would have bags of cash, which she would give to her brother, who would put into a bank account. And oh my God, it was like a whole drama. And I felt for her because I was in that place. I wasn't financially dependent, but I was physically dependent because I was having babies, and this is the father of the children, and it was his job. So how do you get women out of that? I'm trapped. I don't know how to get out of here. Phase. What do you say to them?
Yeah, and that's tricky because you've kind of got a couple of things going on there. One, you've got them to deal with their mindset because.
Yep.
If their mind says I'm trapped, it's a lot harder for them to even think about taking that next step because all they see is I'm dependent on him. And in the US, there's a number of different programs for women, that are in situations like that, that they can, especially if it's an abusive relationship. There's places that they can go where they can get out of the situation and someone will help them with that. But the first step, of course, is the woman has to see in herself that it's time for me to go. In the case of your friend doing what she was doing, buying stuff and then turning around, returning it and getting the cash rather than having it go back on the card so that she can then start building that nest egg. That's really the biggest thing is that if there's a way for her to build that nest egg so that she has the ability to get her own apartment, to move out or find a friend. Maybe you've got a friend that you can talk to and say, hey, can I live with you for a couple of months while I get this sorted?
And, yeah, that's what happened to us. We had somebody give us a space. But I think that also the other thing is to understand that if the person you're married to is deliberately keeping you short because it's a way to control you.
Yes.
And when you find that out, it enables the freedom for you to think, I don't want to live like this. But I think we struggle to make that connection.
Yeah. And like I say, the biggest thing is that mindset is that once in most cases, once they recognize that that's what's happening, it's they start looking for what's my next step. And it could be a women's organization or a local church or, anything like that, where you start meeting people and saying, hey, look, I'm in this situation. Can you help me take that next step to get out of it so that because this is no longer working for me and it's time for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, but it's so hard, Gisette. The level of fear that you live in that circumstance is a starting point. And
yes.
Secondly, we have there's always the fear and freeze and flight response, but in fact, the fawn response is the one that is the most important because the fawn response is the one that makes us into people pleasers. It's a trauma response to avoiding conflict, to avoiding standing up for yourself, to avoiding upsetting people, and it makes you into your people pleasing becomes linked to your survival mechanism. Right. And
yes,
you feel
yes.
like if I don't please the person or the people around me, I will die and my children will die. And actually, it's a terrible thing to clock emotionally. But the reason you're in the situation is because somebody recognized that that people pleasing technique was in desire was in you and used it against you. Right.
Yes, yes.
And that makes them assholes. But it also means that, well, they're manipulators.
Yes,
so
yes.
Something that is a loving, kind, nurturing characteristic in you as a woman is being used to trap you. And that's a very hard mindset to get past. I used to joke, which is funny when you look at me now, that I had doormat tattooed all the way down my spine. Oh, really?
And I get it. And the fact is my first long-term relationship, it was a very abusive relationship. Now, he only was physically abusive once, but he was an excellent mind manipulator. And
yeah, I mean, if you're in a marriage with no money and there is money coming in the door and in the bank account, then you are in an abusive relationship. I think that's just really hard to understand.
Yes, yes. And for me, At that point, I had just started my career, and so I had a little money coming in, but like you say, he had me convinced that no one was going to want me if I left him, that I had to stay. And if it wasn't for the senior developer at the company that I was working for, that realized when I came in one day really upset, and he actually sat me down and talked to me and said, "Look,
Oh, bless the man.
yes." And he was old enough to be my father, actually.
What did he
And
say to you?
he said to me, "Look," he says, "I don't know anything about the guy that you're seeing," he says, "but let me tell you, from what you've told me, and he just said, look, he's an ass for treating you like that. You are amazing. You're so successful. Look at how you picked up on our software," because it was a software company I was working for. He said, "I have never seen anyone grasp the stuff that we're doing here so easily." Now, he had to say that to me for at least 2 months before it finally sank in. And I was like, he's not just saying this because he wants more work out of me. He's actually saying this because I really am good at what I'm doing. And once that happened, it was like a light bulb went off or a switch got turned on. And all of a sudden, I was able to actually look at the situation I was in with clear eyes and say,
And it's why you ended up only having to last a year in this terrible marriage.
yes.
Whereas if you hadn't already done that work, you could have been there for 5 years.
Oh, easily. Easily. I mean, he could have kept me on the hook years.
Yeah.
Because yeah, if I hadn't done that work earlier, yeah, it would have I and good news, bad news is that I had never gotten pregnant, because I know in my gut that if I had gotten pregnant, I'd have gone with the, oh, you stick with the one that fathered your
Yes.
children.
We need to change so many of these stories. And yeah, I remember that. I remember walking out with the children and my mother going, no, this is not what we do. We who?
Yes.
Like, you're not getting all this abuse, are you? And she's just like, yeah, no. Actually, we stay and we work it out. And I was like, he is 6'5" and we're working nothing out. But yeah, the stigma, the shame, and it's not even something that I talk about that much because it's so not relevant to the rest of my story. But I remember a man coming to me wanting me to do a radio show on what it was like being the victim of abuse in a marriage. And I said, I can't do that. He goes, why? Because I said, because I'm so ashamed. And he was like, Gita, if you don't go out and talk about it, who every other woman thinks it's her fault too. But it's not your fault. And I was like, oh, I think this is my fault. And it just isn't, right? Have you seen it's yeah, anyways, but anyway, Gisette, it's so good to have you on and to have had this conversation in a calm, kind of relaxed fashion instead of the drama, the emotion of it. How can people reach out to you to find out more about what you're doing and what you offer?
Probably the easiest way is to go to my website, which is josettemandela.com. I'm also on social media, so you can find me on Facebook and LinkedIn as well, at my full name. LinkedIn actually has a hyphen between my first name and last name because whatever.
LinkedIn. Yeah.
It's how it ended up.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I had like half my name on LinkedIn for like a decade. I was like, yeah, whatever. I know what you mean. Thank you so much, Josette. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much, Gita. This was a lot of fun.
I am going to go look up your book because I haven't bought it yet. So I'm going to go and find that and have a read of it because I don't think you can ever learn enough where it comes to this. So my wonderful guest today was Josette Mandela, and I hope that you found the conversation interesting. There's a calmness to the way Josette manages sort of really earth-shaking life events, which I will get quite kind of excitable about. I do like her kind of very phlegmatic approach to it. I think it's a better way to come to the concept of understanding the skills that you need in order to make your life one that you have power and control over. Also to understand that it is always as women, our own mindset that hurts us the most. And that's where we always need to start to do any of the work that we need to do. I hope that this was helpful, informative, and inspiring. My name is Geeta Sidhu Rob. This is Activate Yourself, and I will be with you again soon.
Thank you so much for joining us. Our goal was to give you pause, make you think about your life, and inspire you to say, wow, what if I tried to do that? If they can do it, so can I. Did it work? Let us know by finding us on social media at Geeta Sidhu Rob or at Nosh Detox. We upload new shows every 2 weeks here. And if you start to miss us, check us out on YouTube.